knowledge fight.
And Jordan, I am sweating. KnowledgeFight.com. It's time to pray.
I have great respect for Knowledge Fight.
Knowledge Fight. I'm sick of them posing as if they're the good guys, saying we are the bad guys. Knowledge Fight.
Dan and Jordan. Knowledge Fight.
I need money. Andy in Kansas. Andy in Kansas. Stop it. Andy in Kansas. Andy. It's time to pray. Andy in Kansas, you're on the air. Thanks for holding.
Hello, Alex. I'm a first-time caller. I'm a huge fan.
I love your work.
Knowledge Fight.
KnowledgeFight.com. I love you.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to Knowledge Fight. I'm Dan.
I'm Jordan.
We're a couple dudes like to sit around, worship at the altar of Selene, and talk a little bit about Alex Jones.
Oh, indeed we are, Dan.
Jordan.
Dan.
Jordan.
Quick question for you.
What's up?
What's your bright spot today, buddy?
My bright spot today is a dilemma.
A dilemma.
A pickle.
Okay.
A paradox.
All right.
I can't come up with more.
Okay.
Jelly bellies, baby.
Yeah.
I'm a big fan of jelly beans.
Pickle flavored jelly beans?
No.
Oh, okay.
I realized as soon as I said I'm in a pickle and it was a flavor thing.
That's going to be a struggle.
I realized that was how it was going to come off.
Yep.
No, they have some holiday versions.
Okay.
And I bought a pack of eggnog jelly bellies.
All eggnog?
Yeah.
Or different flavors of eggnog?
All just eggnog.
All just one eggnog.
Yeah.
Okay. One giant.
There was one like seasonal mixer, like a mixed up bag.
Okay.
But I looked at the flavors and I didn't trust a few of them.
No good. Okay.
I was too scared.
All right.
Some of them were a little bit too autumnal.
Okay.
I'm not interested in a pumpkin spice kind of thing.
No, it's just all spice, man.
So I got these eggnogs, and they're really good, and I really like them. And it's
nice.
Making me conflicted, because I don't think that I like eggnog, but I think I might.
Okay.
So then the question is eggnog too thick?
Right. Is it a textural difference? Because
right.
It's not a flavor-based difference, clearly. Mm-hmm. You enjoy the flavor of eggnog.
I think I do.
Is it that you heard Dave Attell's joke about it being elf cum 25 years ago?
No, I definitely heard that joke, and that doesn't bother me.
Doesn't bother you at all? Okay.
No.
Pour it on your back. Okay.
I wonder if it's an issue where I haven't had it in a long time, and everybody has just told me that it's bad.
That's a good... I can't remember the last time I had eggnog.
Yeah.
I don't think I've had it in 30 years.
I think this season I'm going to fuck around and try out eggnog again. See if it is a textural issue and there's got to be a workaround. Like I could put milk in it or something.
Sure. I am always pro getting drunk in the mornings. Let's just be right up front about
eggnog. Eggnog doesn't always have booze in it.
It feels like it's supposed to though.
No, your family is a bunch of drunks and they put brandy in there.
No, nope.
Eggnog's a sober dish.
Mm, okay.
A dish. Anyway, these jelly bellies are fine. What's your bright spot?
Good. My bright spot is my wife. She was helping her mom today. And so she had to go down there. And I was alone sitting with my dogs. And I was just feeling like how lucky and grateful I am to have them both in my life. That was what I was feeling.
You have three dogs.
I was talking about my wife and her mom.
Oh.
Yeah.
The both confused me.
No, I get you. No, I was very happy. I'm always happy to have them. But I was feeling it, and I know, and like I was thinking about it, and I know they both listen. So they're going to hear this, and they're going to be very touched. And so that is my bright spot, is that eventually they will have a bright spot.
Oh, that's nice.
Yes. I was feeling.
This has become like, it's not 30% of your bright spots, but it's a higher number than you think. That
just
be communicating to your wife. But I don't think that's bad.
Sure.
I don't think that's wrong. I think that's it's a nice sign.
I'm just having genuine feelings, man. I'm out here just trying to feel and live a life. And then, you know, the problem is, right? Marriage lasts a long time. Can't set the bar too high too soon. You know?
Sure.
Right? Like this, if my batting average is this high, imagine it going down. That's way bad, you know?
Well, I guess.
Yeah.
And look, I'm not coming down on you. I'm not saying it's bad.
I'm hearing it.
I've just got to make a show. You know what I mean?
I hear you.
Can't just be like, I love my wife.
Tone it down on the wife talk, asshole.
No.
I get it.
Keep it going. I think it's a great thing. But just expect me to comment a little.
Fair enough. I'll accept it.
And I applaud and approve, and I'm thrilled for your bright spot.
Get out of here.
So I guess if you have to escalate,
yeah,
what are you going
to
do?
If I have to escalate from here?
Every time is going to be a shout-out?
It can't be frequency. It's got to be some other thing.
Well, you're going to have to write a song.
I mean, yeah, it's going to have to be at that level.
Yeah.
The performance is going to have to increase because the frequency can't.
Yes.
Otherwise, that'll be boring.
So these are the demands that keep me from marriage.
Yeah,
keep me single.
It's tough.
What are you going to do?
I don't know. Where are we at 5 years from now?
I look forward to seeing whatever your creativity brings about.
Sucks.
So today, Jordan, we have an episode to do that sucks.
Oh, great.
It always sucks.
It does always suck.
Yeah. It's always bad. Yep. Sucks to hear Alex. It sucks that he isn't being smote.
sure. There is an existence problem.
Yeah.
No. But,
we're going to talk about November 12th, 2025 on his show. But first, let's take a little moment to say hello to some new wonks.
Ooh, that's a great idea.
So first, shout out to the avocado from your old friend Smilner. Thank you so much. You're now a policy wonk.
I'm a policy wonk.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Next, shout out to the Cambridge Community Kitchen in the UK. They make and deliver more than 700 plant-based meals a week to anyone who wants to eat. No questions asked. All for free. Go to ccskitchen.uk and help us raise money to buy a blender so we can make creamy, dreamy autumnal soups. Thank you so much. You're now a policy wonk.
I'm a policy wonk.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. If we all wish hard enough, maybe we can liar, liar, Alex. Thank you so much. You are now a policy wonk.
I'm a policy wonk.
Thank you very much.
It's worth a...
It's possible.
Yeah.
Dreams and wishes do come true.
And we got a technocrat in the mix, Jordan.
Ooh.
So thank you so much to... Hey, sorry, I'm high, but I think it would be funny if you made Dan say, Don de Grand Prix, I'll see you in Valhalla, brother. Thank you so much. You are now a technocrat.
I'm a policy wonk.
4 stars. Go home to your mother and tell her you're brilliant.
Someone, sodomite, sent me a bucket of poop.
Daddy Shark. Bom, 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 bom. Jar Jar Binks has a Caribbean black accent. He's a loser little titty baby. I don't want to hate black people. I renounce Jesus Christ.
Rest easy, Don de Grand Prix.
Yeah.
Watch is over. We will man the wall. See you in Valhalla.
Oh, Don de Grand Prix.
Yeah.
How you doing?
He's not good.
Not good?
No, he's dead.
So,
Jordan, today, someone who's not dead, Alex.
Okay.
Someone else who's not dead, Trump.
Okay.
Someone who is dead, Jeffrey Epstein.
the trifecta of shit.
Yeah.
Okay.
So Trump world has been rocked in the past week with the release of a new tranche of Epstein emails.
Sure.
Some of which specifically mention Trump in ways that are tough to spin.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. A lot of this has been fairly overstated by people claiming that Trump is the most frequently mentioned name in this batch of emails.
Sure.
And that he comes up 1,628 times.
Okay.
That is a true number, but the context is misleading. There aren't 1,628 instances of Jeffrey Epstein emailing with someone and talking about Trump. That number includes a ton of times that Trump's name comes up in the body of a news article that someone forwarded to Epstein or vice versa.
All right.
Similar context to that.
Sure.
Anybody who's looked at Discovery material knows that there's going to be a lot of shit
in
there.
It's incidental data that doesn't help anybody with anything.
Yeah, so that number, I've seen it thrown around, and I think people are making
too
much out
of that. It's a misleading number by itself.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a headline problem.
Right.
So that said, the emails that were released that involved Trump are weird.
Yeah.
And I think they make everyone look bad.
That sounds right.
So there were three main emails that were getting press coverage at the time that Alex is on air on this episode.
Okay.
Two of them were between Epstein and author Michael Wolff, and the other was between Epstein and Ghislaine Maxwell.
Okay.
The Maxwell one is the oldest, from April 2nd, 2011. Epstein wrote to her, quote, I want you to realize that the dog that hasn't barked is Trump. Redacted victim name, spent hours at my house with him. He has never been mentioned once, police chief, etc. I'm 75% there. Maxwell replied, quote, I've been thinking about that.
Great. Good stuff.
This one is the most confusing because it comes down to trying to interpret the expression, the dog that hasn't barked. There are limited context clues also in this, just this tiny exchange as to how Epstein might have meant it.
Sure.
That expression is from detective stories, where the fact that a dog didn't bark indicated that it knew the burglar or murderer who was breaking into someone's house. In the context of Epstein's email, you could look at this a number of different ways. One is that Epstein's suspicious of Trump being a snitch. Epstein knows that Trump has committed crimes in his house, and yet no police chatter ever comes up about him. So, in effect, the police aren't barking because they know Trump.
Right.
The second is a slight variation on that, where Trump is protected by the police, but not because he's an informant. This would basically follow the same idea, but the lack of barking isn't because the police are working with Trump, but because Trump is, as Alex might put it, mobbed up and a front man for consortiums on the East Coast.
Sure.
A third option is that Epstein's using the expression differently and is commenting on how no one snitched on Trump, which is apparently uncommon among his associates.
Mm.
This could indicate that he's saying that, Trump is particularly scary to the victims.
Sure.
Or it's very difficult to tell what this means.
Yeah.
But it's very interesting, but it's also the least useful without context.
Right.
If you add more surrounding details to this conversation, it could mean a bunch of different things, and I'm reluctant to jump to any strong conclusions about it yet.
Sure.
But it's in that same territory as, Trump's birthday card, where he's like, a friend is a wonderful riddle.
Yeah.
It's like, what the fuck do you mean by that?
I mean, I will say this. Of all the extremely wealthy people I have ever met in my life, none of them have been able to use idioms appropriately.
Mm.
So it is entirely possible that this means something completely different from the actual meaning of the phrase.
Yeah. It's weird.
It is weird.
Yeah.
It's weird.
So the other two emails are a bit more direct. These are two exchanges between Epstein and Michael Wolff from 2015 and 2019. The 2019 one is just Epstein saying, quote, Trump said he asked me to resign, never a member ever. Of course he knew about the girls as he asked Ghislaine to stop.
Sure.
This is Epstein refuting Trump's telling of how he kicked Epstein out of Mar-a-Lago as soon as he learned that he was preying on children there. Of course he knew about the girls is a tough line to wiggle around.
Wow.
The email from 2015 involves Epstein and Wolff discussing how Trump should respond to a hypothetical question from the media about his relationship with Epstein. Jeffrey asks Wolff, quote, if we were able to craft an answer for him, what do you think it should be? Wolff replies, quote, I think you should let him hang himself. If he says he hasn't been on the plane or to the house, that gives you a valuable PR and political currency. You can hang him in a way that potentially generates a positive benefit for you, or if it looks like he could win, you could save him, generating a debt. Of course, it's possible that when asked, he'll say Jeffrey is a great guy and has gotten a raw deal and is a victim of political correctness, which is to be outlawed in a Trump regime.
Mm.
It's worth noting that these are Michael Wolff's words, but he and Epstein appear to be pretty close, and it's well understood that Trump is involved with Epstein in a way that would make hanging Trump very easy.
Right.
It's common knowledge to them that Trump had been on Epstein's plane and been to his house, so if Trump were to lie about that, he would be potentially compromised. These emails obviously don't tell an entire story, but they're bad.
Yeah.
Maybe it's not the kind of evidence you'd want to rely on to throw someone in jail, but these are glimpses that paint a pretty clear picture that Trump's not someone who should be trusted in a position of power.
Sure.
Epstein calling him the dog that didn't bark and wargaming with Michael Wolff about how best to exploit their association, they're not definite proof of crimes, but they're damning in terms of Trump's character.
Yeah.
This is a piece of shit guy.
Yeah. Is Michael Wolff dead?
I don't know. No, I don't think so, because he commented on the release of the emails. Yeah, I think he's still alive.
Was his comment like, sorry, I'm a ghoulish monster who worked with the fucking preeminent pedophile billionaire of our time?
I don't think there's as much soul searching as you'd like.
You don't think so?
No, I think there's more of I've been trying to get this story out for a long time kind of vibe from him.
Right.
Which your mileage may vary in terms of how much you want to trust that.
So totally cool of you to be just emailing with Jeffrey Epstein about shit like this.
I mean, it's a cynical look.
I mean, yeah, that's dark. That is dark. Hey, yeah. Man, I need the story is not going to cut it for me on this one. Sorry.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think the stakes of it are so comical that and the familiar tone.
Oh, totally.
Of this kind of
absolutely.
Maybe you could fuck Trump up if he lies about you whatever.
Listen, if I'm emailing the devil, I'm already way past it.
Right.
You know, why not have a nice collegial tone?
And this is in 2015.
Right.
So it's not it's
nobody had any idea.
Back.
Nobody had any idea that he was a bad guy at the time, right? Mm. It would be crazy to know that. Yeah. They're even talking about it. The fuck off. Oh, man.
I just think that, like, okay, so these emails are not the only ones that will eventually come out.
Yeah.
But they are bad.
Yeah.
And, like, I get it. I get that, like, we can't try someone in a court of law in the court of public opinion.
Sure.
I get that.
Sure.
Great. Hey, I don't want to be a part of cancel culture. But okay, we're not talking about just a person.
Sure.
We're talking about a president.
Yeah.
We're talking about the leader of the fucking country.
That is true.
Him being discussed like this by these creeps.
Yep.
That's bad. That's enough.
Yeah.
He's gone. He should be gone.
Yeah. You know, it is a problem from a substance standpoint, right? If you can get the exact same guy who believes the exact same stuff from just about anywhere off the street, but that person isn't a pedophile billionaire who worked with Jeffrey Epstein to cover up all those crimes,
mm-hmm,
you could do that, right?
Yeah. It's... should be disqualifying.
It should be.
Yeah.
Just like from a just like an automatic standpoint. Like, we don't even have a say. You know, that should be part of it, is that there should be an automatic mechanism, much like some sort of a machine guillotine of some sort, right? That will just take care of the problem for us immediately.
Now, and let me be clear about something.
Yeah.
I believe that the situation is way worse than what I'm saying.
Yeah.
I'm going based on these three emails that were released and trying to be as fair as I can.
Right.
Right. I do think it's worse than this. But even absolutely, if you are as generous as possible,
yeah,
this is bad. It sucks. Get rid of him.
Yep.
Anyway, Alex comes on air and let's see how he's doing.
He's probably going
to. He's the guy who broke the Epstein story.
He's going to do great with this.
Well, exactly what I predicted in the last few years and intensely the last year since Trump was president-elect. It's been a year now. Exactly as I predicted, the Democrats with some Republicans have begun to release select cherry-picked stuff out of what they call the Epstein files. And I know all of it up one side and down the other, predicted all of it, so did Roger Stone. It's exactly what we thought. Now, they're set in a few days to release all of them in Congress. They're a little behind blacking out, you know, names and things, which they better do, of victims. But they released their best shot last night, and it's all over the news, and it is beyond a nothing burger. That said, I am not in the business of being an apologist for Donald Trump or covering up anything. I simply call balls and strikes.
Just balls and strikes.
I believe the last time we heard, or the last time I recall him giving a grade to the president of the United States, it was 120%.
No, I think it might have been like 98, because he was being conservative.
He was
in a down
mood.
No,
you're right. He was calls balls and strikes.
Yeah.
So he's only 98% happy with them. Mm-hmm. Gotcha. All right.
And then I think maybe he's a little bit more negative when Nick Fuentes is around, because he doesn't want to upset the little boy.
Right. Well,
so I would say nothing too surprising here.
Nope.
From Alex. That response he decides to go with is like, yeah, it's a non-story.
Mm.
It's a fun contrast to see his response to these emails be, it's a big nothing burger, compared to how he salaciously covered the Pizzagate emails.
Mm.
He was digging up food-based codes and making up all kinds of stuff in order to make those more damning to his enemies, but now it's all just nothing to see here.
Yeah.
If you're Alex, you have to know that more stuff's coming and that this isn't the last very shady thing you're going to have to pretend is a nothing burger. So it makes no sense to, like, why you're not shifting your support over to another white identity friendly candidate.
Yeah.
When you're the guy who made his career by breaking into Bohemian Grove, it's really embarrassing to treat the president this softly around associations with a sex trafficker.
Yeah.
Like, this is fucking stupid.
It's a pedophile billionaire cabal. I don't know how else to describe the current government than a pedophile billionaire cabal. But that's fine, I guess.
It's not that is where all power lies.
Right.
But it's more than it should be.
Way more than it. Any should be no problem. We should be like, no, there's none. Some, even if it's a small amount, should be a huge problem.
Yeah.
The amount we have currently is beyond.
It would be almost hilarious if in hindsight we find out that Trump and all of his cabinet like put on robes.
Absolutely.
And do like chanting weird 100%.
Rituals. 100%.
Alex has just been oblivious.
It'd be perfect. And it would be perfect.
So he calls balls and strikes.
Sure.
And sometimes, you know, like you got to call it like you see it. Mm-hmm. Their response does not look good over in the Trump administration.
The way the Trump administration has handled the Epstein case has been an unmitigated disaster.
Ah, seems great.
If you wanted to create the biggest Streisand effect and look guilty, you couldn't do a better job. That said, I know this thing up one side and down the other. I'm interviewed all the experts. I've got every damn angle of this thing. You have all the victims saying he never touched him. He's the guy that blew the whistle on Epstein on record. And I have all the videos, all the clips, the police, all the admissions, the lawyers, the women. I could do 4 hours with just the women. 99% of them saying they never saw Trump. Two of them saw Trump at Mar-a-Lago. Trump got in his face, kicked him out of the club because he was recruiting the 15-year-old girls out of there. And then, in the upcoming emails, it's going to be him in Florida on two occasions visiting houses. It's already on record. They were fighting over houses they were buying. That's what Trump does. And that's when Epstein got pissed because Trump snuck behind him and, you know, snatched up a house.
Oh, okay.
So
Roger has likely told Alex that Trump was over at Epstein's house a lot, and there's evidence about that that's going to come out. So yeah. Alex needs to get ahead of that.
Yeah, that would be wise.
This is a very specific thing Alex predicts is going to be the next attack, as if he knows what Trump's associates are worried are his weak points.
Yeah, yep.
Or maybe this is about the already released email where Epstein tells Maxwell that Trump spent hours at one of the houses with one of the victims. It's hard to tell if this is preemptive damage control or just after the fact spinning.
Yeah.
Not sure.
I mean, if you... okay. I'll say this. If I have no knowledge of what might be in these emails, and I just instinctively go, well, he's probably not doing this... I'm probably lying, right? And that's probably good enough already. It might look like I already knew in advance what was coming because I just assumed the worst possible thing was in those emails.
Right.
Right?
What is the way that we can explain someone looking guilty as shit,
right,
but they're not?
Right.
I'll come up with that in advance and we're good.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So Trump was never in on the cover-up, right?
Okay. Here's where I struggle with this. Mm-hmm. I struggle with this whole thing, right? Because I feel like we should have already handled this. Mm. We have already reached the point where Trump covered up the Epstein thing. They've said that that's okay. We'll lick your boots, Daddy. Now, why are we even bothering? You know
right.
what I'm saying?
No, look, I don't know what it means to take care of something.
Sure.
But, like, in terms of Alex's position on this, it seems like a done deal.
Yeah.
Like, it doesn't seem like there's any reason to litigate this any further
why
for him.
Why even bother? Yeah.
Yeah. They've already made peace with the fact that, like, we're going to be complicit in something.
Yeah, we're fucking Michael Wolfing this. Who gives a shit?
Right.
Yeah.
And I think even in this clip, that's what you hear. Like, Alex is saying, like, Trump wasn't in on the cover-up.
Yeah.
But now he is, and that's fine.
I guess
we, well.
And the fact that they released this, and I'm already telling you what the other stuff's going to be, which they haven't even gotten to yet, I just know, shows there's nothing there. But then, my dear Watson, I asked the question, why in hell and tarnation has there been a big cover-up? Well, we know why. Because it's a bunch of big CEOs and a bunch of big heads of banks. They're mainly Democrats. But Ratcliffe has come to Trump, and I was told this when he was president-elect from Roger and other people, that you're not going to get it because the CIA says it's a national security threat because they were working with the Mossad. And look, we already know all that. So Trump is not involved screwing the girls, and he was not involved in any cover-up ever, and was really the first to expose Epstein. That's why I ended up, you know, getting that jail sentence in Florida. And we knew this when I was vetting Trump 10 years ago before I endorsed him, 10 and a half years ago. God, it's been that long. I went to the books on the subject, the experts on it, read what Trump's enemies had said, read what the New York Times had said, and there was never anything there. So I'm like, okay, he's good. But that's how much due diligence I do, not just on that, other subjects, before I endorsed Trump, remember, early. And I knew how he was pro-America and his past and his dad, and that he sat at the knee of, you know, the architect of the McCarthy stuff. So I knew he knew a lot, and I endorsed him.
That was your positive?
And we're going to go over it all today and so much more. We have special guests lined up.
So Alex didn't vet Trump. He was just disappointed by Rand Paul's weakness in the 2016 primaries, and Roger came along and got Alex to flip. Any research that he did on Trump was just asking Roger questions and accepting whatever lies Roger fed him.
Mm-hmm.
Also, you can't get points for never having been part of an elaborate cover-up if you eventually become part of the cover-up.
Yeah.
If it's true that Trump wasn't part of covering up Epstein's shit for the past however many decades they've been friends, but now that he's president, the deep state has convinced him that he needs to cover it all up, then the past doesn't matter. According to Alex's telling of the story, the CIA has convinced Trump that it's in his best interest to be part of the cover-up. That's the best narrative that a huge Trump propagandist can come up with for this, yeah. Which seems bad.
Yeah, the deep state has captured the president, and I support that.
Yeah, because it's understandable why he would go along with it.
I mean, if I was the president and the CIA told me some shit, I would obviously cover it up too, because they'll probably kill me.
Yes.
Yeah.
This is a pathetic position for someone like Alex to have. Like, it doesn't matter if you're like, you've been convinced it's smart and in your best interest to be part of a sex trafficking cover-up.
Nope.
You are now part of a sex trafficking cover-up.
The beauty of, and see, this is the thing. This is the beauty of being a person with a pure ideology, is that you get to do it, especially when it's dumb. Mm-hmm. You get to be an idiot, right? If the CIA is like, hey, you'd be stupid not to do this, we'll kill you. You get to be the guy who gets killed, because that's what you do. Mm. You don't go, well, it would be smart this time, because then you're the guy who goes, well, it would be smart this time. It's bullshit.
Can you imagine any politician that Alex didn't like getting the courtesy of, well, the deep state convinced them that there would be too many problems if they didn't go along with this conspiracy? That's his fucking angle?
How can you be convinced if you're wrong or if you're right? Do you know what I mean? If you believe that Donald Trump is right to do the thing, but he has been convinced to do the wrong thing, mm-hmm. then now he is wrong.
Well, maybe from your position.
But that's your position.
Maybe it was in the past.
That's fair.
Or maybe I pretended it was.
I do like the retroactive, like, oh, but he held out so long before he covered it up. So he's still a pretty good dude.
Oh, yeah. That's the standard.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah, he held out.
So Alex makes up a bunch of stuff here,
sure.
About the emails, because he is just calling balls and strikes.
Just doing it.
Jeffrey Epstein alleged emails that Trump knew of his conduct. Epstein emails claim Trump knew about the girl, spent hours with the victim. And we've got the emails, and we're going to go over all of it. And it just so happens that this is not easily disproven, what they're trying to imply. It's absolutely pathetically easy.
Hmm.
Because we know every angle of this, from the victims, from their lawyers, from everything. And then when you see how, what they imply, spent hours with the victims, knew, ooh, and called the police and kicked him out of the club because the two victims worked at Mar-a-Lago. And he got pissed because Epstein was poaching him. And when you actually read all the quotes.
Are you telling me a positive
Epstein
story?
Tells Wolf that's trying to write the hit piece, no. He's the one to drop the dime on me, no. Yeah, he knew about it, and he was upset, and his wife was upset. Oh, we learned Melania was pissed. I mean, imagine you live somewhere with your wife and a bunch of other people at a resort. You know, it's like the Love Boat or something. I mean, you see what these dudes are doing, and, you know, Mama Bear's like,
Alex is making things up about the emails in order to play defense. it's totally fine to say that the emails that were released by this point were not necessarily smoking guns, but it's idiotic to pretend that this is calling balls and strikes.
Mm-hmm.
The emails that were released had nothing to do with Melania, but the context of Epstein saying that Trump knew about the girls is from a sentence that also includes the point that Trump asked Ghislaine to stop sex trafficking people at Mar-a-Lago.
Mm.
The fact that Trump asked her to stop is proof that Trump knew what Ghislaine and Epstein were up to, but it's tough to read much more into it than that.
Yeah.
So, like, yeah, sure, it's him saying stop, but he's also, he knows what they're doing. It's a mess.
You know, this is, I think, part of, you know, the difference between the way they treated the Pizzagate emails and the way they treated these gets to what made Project Camelot so good at the beginning, right? Is because I thought they were in it for the love of the game.
Mm.
There was no agenda. They were just here to be a dick about something, you know? Like, that's what I want from Alex and any transfer of emails about anything.
Yeah.
Just fucking pick through, make up some cool conspiracy bullshit, yell about it, and then we all move on. Don't give me an agenda.
Yeah, your baggage has to be to the weird,
yep,
not to the, like,
yep,
the real
kowtowing
political
to the, yeah,
shit.
Yep, absolutely.
So the fact that Trump asked her to stop in that email is proof that he knew what they were up to, but it doesn't necessarily seem like he has a problem with the actual crimes they were committing.
Right.
It seems like maybe it was more of a don't do it here kind
right.
of thing.
Right, right,
but
right.
even me saying that is reading more into the emails than is written there.
Sure.
It's making an assumption.
Sure.
Epstein didn't tell Wolf that Trump dropped a dime on him, but that's one of the many interpretations you can come up with for the dog that didn't bark line.
Sure.
But that was also from the Ghislaine email, not right. from Michael Wolf.
Right.
Point is, Alex is shaky on the details here, but his messaging that this isn't a big deal is very obvious.
Yeah.
And that is all that's important. That's his coverage.
I mean, I just, like, beyond all of these people, and I mean fucking all of them, like, just between us, the people who regularly do this shit, why not just get rid of everybody who knew Epstein in the government?
Yeah.
Right? Like, just all of it. We can replace them. There's so many of us. And
yeah.
there's so many competent people who would be just as good at that job as somebody who knew Jeffrey Epstein, but they didn't know Jeffrey Epstein.
Yeah, it's all, I don't know how anything works. But,
right.
you know, I agree with you that there are capable people who never met
Who never met Jeffrey Epstein.
And maybe we just take a punt on this one and say, hey, look. Sorry.
Maybe it's not fair.
Maybe you're great.
Maybe you are great.
Yeah. Sorry.
You knew Jeffrey Epstein. We can do better.
An abundance of caution requires yep. us to just quarantine.
Absolutely. No Epsteins. Yeah. I stayed inside for 2 years. We can get past nobody knows Jeffrey Epstein anymore. I think we'll be
He's
all right.
He's not meeting more people.
Exactly. Yes, exactly. That problem has solved itself.
Yeah. So, this is all, like, a Democratic setup and shit.
Sure. Yeah, why not?
I don't really understand what the larger conspiracy here is, though.
And so, never went to Zorro Ranch, never went to the Caribbean, none of it. Like Bill Clinton and all the rest of them. That said, though, Trump has been covering up for the bad guys. There's no doubt about that. Now, obviously, most of the real stuff's been destroyed and disappeared by the Democrats and Comey and all them that control the file. And we have a big developments on that front. It's come out in court that Maureen Comey, the daughter that ran the Epstein cover-up in the Southern District of New York, she came to Epstein and said, we'll drop the new charges. Just say you saw Trump screw girls. But it didn't happen. It wasn't real. So that's where we are.
That's where we are. I don't know what this adds to the conspiracy.
Where are we?
I don't know where we are. So the allegation that Maureen Comey offered Epstein a deal to implicate Trump comes from a plea for a pardon that was filed by Epstein's former cellmate Nicholas Tartaglione. In other circumstances, Tartaglione has been part of the conspiracy to kill Epstein.
Sure.
Because it was so suspicious that his cellmate was a former cop who went on to kill 4 people in a drug deal that went bad.
Hmm.
How could that possibly be? It's too suspicious. He was his cellmate. He must have tried to kill him.
That does sound right.
He's bunking with a murderer who used to be law enforcement? Come on.
That's very murdery.
Are we stupid?
As a useful murderer, that's a pretty good murderer.
Sure. So that was the conspiracy that a lot of folks sure. are part of the conspiracy. conspiracy around his death.
Sure.
The people ran with.
Right.
Anyway, he's doing four life sentences for the murders, and now he wants a pardon, so he's got this story to tell, and Alex is in the business of accepting whatever he says as gospel. Balls and strikes.
Great.
Just calling it down the middle.
See, this is where I feel like we're having disagreements about where we're at, because where I'm at is, right, if somebody like Alex goes like, Trump is bad, but we should get rid of these guys first, I'll be like, I'm good. Get rid of all of them. Let's just go. Let's just be done with this shit, you know? Like, I can't be here for another, like, oh, they're covering something up, but we're covering up something better. That's where we're at. We're at the lesser of two cover-ups.
Yeah, it's the lesser of two evils, except, like, it's so bad on its face.
Yeah.
That, like, what, you don't need to accept either of these evils.
Yeah, what is happening?
Yeah. Yeah, I think people are averse to your position because everyone understands that, like, if you give an inch, it's not going to be dealt with universally. Like, you're saying get rid of Trump and get rid of everybody else,
sure,
too.
Sure, sure.
Yeah, I think a lot of rational people would be totally fine with that.
Sure.
But the sticking point is, like, Alex would say get rid of all your people first.
Right.
And then they would never follow through on getting rid of people on their side.
No, it's got to be a Red Rover situation. One for one.
Simultaneous.
One for one every time. Boom. We put them on our table like war. Mm-hmm. Oh, we got Nancy Pelosi. You drop another one down. They're gone. All right. Next one. I trust you to get one to one every time.
That might be the only negotiation strategy that works.
I'm down for that. You and her. Sorry. You're out of here. Mm-hmm. Goodbye.
Well, hey, look, you've solved my problem that I had. So, yeah, it just sucks that the best he can do is like, yeah, he's in on the cover-up now.
Yeah.
Duh. He has to be.
Come on. What are you, stupid?
Yeah, you got to do better than this.
Mm.
So anyway, Alex spends a long time complaining about Obamacare.
Sure. Wow. Mm. 2025, baby. Yeah. Writing it in the wall.
Yeah. Jonathan Gruber said you're stupid. Bah.
Oh, boy.
Awesome.
Yep.
So anyway, we'll skip through a lot of that.
Yeah.
The high point of it was him describing going to a clinic in Austin that has a pharmacy and seeing them charging a lady too much for a prescription and being like, it's not us. It's Obama.
It's Obama.
And then she cried.
Oh, no. Man, bring back death panels. Let's talk about that.
Yeah. So anyway, Alex is really, really, really successful.
Sure.
He makes millions of people watching him all the time, and no one believes it.
Fighting this is not a part-time job for anybody. People haven't really done it in about 10 years, but it used to happen all the time. You know, I have dozens of employees reaching, even 10 years ago, 30, 40 million people a day conservatively. And family would come over to see me, your neighbors, and they'd say, well, what's your main career? Like, what's your daytime job? And I'm sitting there, because, you know, my house, there's not pictures of me and, you know, newspaper clippings on the walls and all this kind of stuff. And your house is modest and everything. You don't make a big deal about it. I'm like, oh, I reach, you know, 30 million people a day. And they're like, no, you don't. And the reason I raise that is people just have a normalcy bias. And they just don't believe when extraordinarily good things are happening, extraordinarily bad things are happening, especially if you don't put on airs. And by that, I mean, I'm not a person that puts on airs. Patriots don't put on airs. But we've been right. You've been right. So there has to be some way to signal to people like, hey, we're the good guys.
Some sort of virtue.
If you don't want to be in total enslavement now, you better join us. And that we're the same people. I mean, where's the victory lap?
I think it was January 6th. But also, you don't put on airs? Man, I have your watch. You put on airs.
That whole studio is an air.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This is all, your life is putting on airs.
Absurd.
Now, I will say, I think that what these people are asking when they say, like, what's your real job?
Right.
The answer is supposed to be, I'm a supplement salesman.
Right.
Because the show obviously wouldn't generate the kind of income that would get the giant house that he lives in.
Right.
That is so modestly decorated.
Mm.
So, yeah, I think that's the question that they're really trying to get at. But there's something so fun about, like, no one believes how popular I am because I'm so modest.
I mean, yeah, that's like, that is borderline. I'm the most humble person there's ever been.
Of all the greatest traits
of
that
all,
I have.
I mean, I am the greatest humbler.
Mm-hmm.
I just humble myself like so much better than everybody else because I'm a better person.
Right. Yeah. And that's really great for Logan Paul's entrance yeah. in a WWE ring.
Absolutely.
You know, because you want to hate him. He's
right.
supposed to be hated.
Right.
For Alex, I don't think he's trying to play a heel.
No.
I don't think.
It's just such a dick thing to say about anything.
Yeah.
Ugh.
So a large portion of this, like I said, is complaining about Obamacare.
Sure.
And then another large chunk ends up him trying to start a fight with Theo Vaughn.
Okay.
Podcaster and former road ruler, okay. Theo
yeah.
Vaughn.
Theo Vaughn. Yeah, 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 yeah.
The bottom line of it is basically like people are too into Israel. They complain too much about Israel.
Okay.
And he's singled out Theo Vaughn.
Theo Vaughn complains too much about Israel.
Yeah.
Okay.
We should be doing a victory lap so people recognize we were the ones that were right. So that people will listen to us on the next important thing we're telling them. That's my issue with the Israel thing is, it's the avant-garde thing. It's all people talk about. They talk about the same set of things over and over again as if it does anything to Israel. They know nothing else about anything. And then it's like this golden ticket they have where they go, I'm better than you. You don't just talk about Israel. And I singled out Theo Vaughn, who I like and who says nice things about me, just because you got to pick one example. I decided to shoot this last night because I literally saw a clip somebody posted in one of my videos, one of my reports, and it said, huh, why don't you, you know, be a real man and expose Israel like Theo Vaughn? And I'm sitting there thinking, well, I mean, when you know, Theo was 5 years old, I was making documentaries about Israel and staging false flag attacks. I've covered all of this. I don't have to prove myself.
Were you pissed off by a tweet? And so you decided to try and big dog Theo Vaughn?
Is there a reason for that? What did Theo Vaughn ever do?
I think that Rogan doesn't want Alex on.
Right.
Theo Vaughn's huge.
So we're doing a squeal like a pig kind of situation with Theo Vaughn. We're going to stick him.
1,000,000%.
And then Theo Vaughn is going to invite him onto the show.
Alex made a video about why Theo Vaughn is afraid to have him on his show.
Right.
So obviously it's
please book me. Yes, please get me on your show.
It's so desperate
yeah.
that like...
It's going to work.
I hope it doesn't.
Yeah.
I hope Theo has better instincts than that, but I don't trust it.
Isn't his show like some crazy level of huge? Didn't he have like Obama on
he
or something?
Trump on. he had Bernie on too though.
Yeah.
Like
it, all right.
I think he's
just Theo Vaughn. He doesn't know anything.
I have not watched enough of it to have like a good instinct about like where his views are.
Sure.
But he seems like maybe less really bad Rogan or something.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That's
kind
of
yeah.
how I would, from a distance, view it.
Yeah.
And I think that Alex views it that way, too, and that's why he wants in.
Right, right, right.
And Rogan doesn't want him back.
Right. I can't be on Rogan, too corporate. Theo is dumb enough, and that's all I need.
Yeah.
Done and done.
Rogan has told me that I can go on Kill Tony, maybe.
Maybe.
But that's about it.
And I only get 1 minute, right?
Yeah.
That's no good.
He's got a minute. I was thinking back to that Stanhope set.
I was going
to
say, did we see him? Did we hear him do a minute?
No, he did more than a minute. But
oh,
I think
he definitely
the minute,
did a minute.
I think the minute worked fine because it's all momentum.
Right. Well, like, he did run out of momentum.
He can yell for a minute.
Yeah.
But yeah, give him 10.
No good.
So this rant trying to bait Theo Vaughn is very long.
Yeah.
He complains a lot about people who are critical of Israel and how it's all just them jacking off.
Sure.
But I'm sorry, folks. You're going to have to learn more than just, oh, look, that person prayed at the Wailing Wall, and then just metaphysically play with yourself and talk about how you're good and they're bad all day long. And again, like, oh, huh. The Jews are in trouble. We finally got him. He's trying to get us off their trail. It's all you do. If you're going to expose badness in Israel, be informed, know the facts, go in, cover it, move on to the next thing. And then you defuse the Zionists manipulating the other Jews who all feel threatened now, who don't know what's going on in the general public, who are sending record money to their very abusers that know they're stirring up the beehive so they can have this Armageddon, Megiddo crisis. And so the Israel lobby can fully take over the U.S. because they got a plan to false flag synagogues and stuff and come in with massive censorship. See, I'm not just talking about what happened in the past. I'm talking about what's about to happen. See?
See?
So I apologize to a lot of people out there that have woken up to the fact that they're being lied to, but who don't have any grasp or depth and who have low IQs. And I don't know how I respond to you.
Thank
I can
you.
Talk to you like you're five.
Please.
And maybe I shouldn't waste my time on you. It just doesn't matter. But I'll tell you this. If we don't turn around the totalitarianism and all its flavors and forms, we are going to have a complete global depression. We are going to have total war. We're all completely screwed. And I'm literally Thanks. Just trying to save the ship here. And then I got to watch all these one-trick ponies, like a string you pull on those dolls that say like three things. And you pull it, it just says the same three things. Just pull string, pull string, pull string. And I'm just like, this is retarded. This is absolutely idiotic. God, I was supposed to get the Epstein thing. I'm going to get to that too coming up.
Yeah, I'm sure you will. So, it's all just to bait Theo. This is just trying to sneaky snake him. And like, all of these criticisms and like saying that these people are just masturbating with a string, pull the string and it says the same thing. Like, you hang out with Nick. What are you talking about? Why is Theo Von worse than Nick?
I can't imagine so.
Blaming Israel for everything. It's weird. But Nick gives Alex the time of day and Theo has an audience that Alex hasn't penetrated yet.
There's definitely that. I do like the middle of a, I'm good and you're bad rant to have something about how they only sit around and talk about how good they are and how bad you are.
Mm-hmm.
That's nice. Then to say that it's masturbation while you're doing it. That's nice. But then I thought about it and I was like, he is getting paid professionally to do this. So there is a bit of a difference between somebody who's just masturbating and somebody who's masturbating on camera, right?
Right.
Right, so they're professional masturbators.
Yeah, but I also think that here's where it gets tough.
Okay, where does it get tough?
You're gonna have to have a person masturbating on camera and people buying supplements.
Yeah,
because people I don't really think are there for Alex's masturbation.
Yeah,
like no one's paying for that on its own.
That's fair. That's fair. They are. Yeah. Who is sponsoring masturbation these days?
Black Rifle Coffee. Whatever beef Tucker is selling.
I'll say this. I'm not selling Hide Your Guns on that one.
Yeah. So Alex does not get to covering the Epstein stuff.
Naturally.
Just yet. Because there's other news.
Yeah.
Other than Obamacare.
Right.
Which is that Trump is fucked in the polls. His numbers are dropping.
What a surprise.
All right. I remember... in September of 2020, talking to Roger Stone on the phone, and he's a very smart political analyst and Trump's former top political advisor, he said Trump's going to lose. He said there's enough fraud baked in. He's got to win by 10 points. He's not going to have as big a landslide as he had in 2016. He goes, he's going to lose, but don't say that. I've since had Roger on, and after the fact, I wasn't out of confidence. I got his permission to tell the story. This time he said, no, he's going to win. It's going to look like a small landslide. He'll win the popular and the electoral. But he said, don't tell people that because we still got to have maximum push. We got to have urgency. Now, when we came out and talked about that, and I told folks, good chance Trump's going to lose. I didn't say my sources. people need to take it serious. All the white pill Q people are like, no, he's invincible. Hillary's been executed. They're all at Guantanamo Bay, just total cuckoo town stuff. Now, that's one extreme of that, of the white pills. There's other people that just say, oh, you're criticizing Trump when you say that's not a good policy. We think this advisor's bad. That's a terrible idea. We're not, in North Korea here. We're not the Democrats, too. We don't just slavishly follow whatever, comes out of the RNC. And so when I get up here and tell you that I don't need to be Mark Mitchell, who is, hands down, I talked to everybody, and the numbers are clear, one of the, if not the best pollsters in the world at RasmussenReports.com, and he'll tell you, because I've been watching him, when he does other interviews and when he came on with Brianna Morello a few days ago, that Trump is in deep shit. And people go, oh, you're undermining him. No. We're saying that because that's what the numbers show, and that's what we see on the street. So he course corrects very, very quickly because people are fickle. Just 3 months ago, Trump was riding high. But now, because of a lot of things that are happening and the horrible economy he inherited, and he was trying to fix it, we got big problems.
A lot of things are happening. Like, that's Trump just sucks.
Yeah.
You guys got a pile of shit, and it's yours.
I mean,
that's why the numbers are dropping.
It's so weird, right? Like, the very beginning of something is Roger Stone being like, this is how it's going to happen.
Mm.
Don't tell people the truth. Lie to them so we can manipulate the outcome.
Also,
right?
Also, it got really stuck in my head that he's like, I remember in September Stone was on the phone.
Yes.
Like, he's saying a poem.
Yep. The fifth day of September, Stone rang my phone.
It's very distracting.
Yeah.
I mean, hey, look, you got to misdirect.
Hey, you got to do what you got to do.
Yeah, it's for the best. I think that what Alex fails to realize is that he is not wagging the dog.
No.
He thinks that he can be like, wah, wah, I'm going to throw a fit. Trump, you're fucked in the polls.
Yep.
And that's going to get Trump to act in the way that he wants him to, as opposed to like, no, he's doing what he's going to do, and you're going to not like that.
Yeah.
The polls are going to drop, and he doesn't really care.
Yeah. Yeah. It is very strange to have that be like a thing that he does. Is like, if he's talking to you, it's to make you do a thing that he wants, mm-hmm. right? Like, that's the only time he'll ever say your name out loud, whether it's for a positive or a negative, or like buttering you up or intimidating you. No matter what, if he is engaging with you, it is to obtain.
Yeah. And Alex has run out of things to be obtainable from him.
Yeah.
Like, there is, like, whatever poll numbers are dropping, like, it's not going to be affected by Alex.
Nope.
Being like, hey, Trump's good, he's cool. You're not going to get any bump in the numbers from that.
Nope. So you would have to listen to Alex for one reason and one reason only. You believe that Alex is going to lead you to popularity once more.
Mm. So Alex, because he's talking about the polls, he's got a Rasmussen guy on there.
Yeah.
And so this guy is, he's got some criticisms of Trump, like the fact that he pretends to be a populist but is surrounded by billionaires.
Weird.
Again, where's the understanding that this needs to be economic populism? He ran as a populist and he's surrounded by billionaires. And like, Bill Pulte might be the nicest guy on earth, but when your solution to like the housing crisis is to make prices higher, which is what happens when you juice demand without affecting supply. That's what that 50-year mortgage will do. It will make the baby boomer generation more wealthy because their houses prices will go up. It will make home builders more wealthy because they can sell higher priced houses. And it will make bankers more wealthy because they can siphon off more interest out of young people. And what's really sick is that we have a bubble right now. And so for Trump to expand borrowing by expanding credit and relaxing the credit requirements, what they're essentially doing is helping struggling people get into the market so that boomers who have made a lot of money can get out of the market at the top. That's even more perverse. And so that's what their solution was, when the real solution should be to crash the market. And yes, that would be bad for the economy, but everybody was talking about a controlled detonation of the economy. Remember back in January, I think it was, we're like, okay, we're in. how are we bringing this thing down? And you know what? That would have been the best thing for people under 50. They could have gotten rid of all the H-1Bs and all the visas and then crashed the housing market. That would have given every Zoomer a job, a good job, like an Apple development job.
Is that how that works?
Like a fever.
I don't know if that's how that works.
Push all the foreigners out, all the illegals.
Yeah.
Yeah, it would push the foreigners out.
These are some of the dumbest things I've heard a person say.
Sure.
That's amazing.
I'm not positive about controlled demolitions of economies.
Sure.
But I am positive about if you ever thought that Trump was going to do that, you're insane.
You would be ridiculously insane.
So I think that this guy, I don't like him. I think he sucks.
Yeah.
But he has a fair point in as much as, like, Trump is obviously not the person, the populist that he was pretending to be.
Yeah.
All of these actions are going to transfer more wealth to the people who already have wealth at the expense of the people who don't.
Yeah, I don't think there is any way to move forward with any of these people on anything until this conversation begins with, oh, Trump has been lying the entire time.
Yeah.
He did not start lying. He is not beginning to do anything.
Mm-hmm.
He lied to us from the jump.
Yeah.
We have been wrong.
Well, you have.
Sure. Yeah.
The people who have been like, this guy sucks,
they've been
kind of right.
No. We nailed it. Yeah. We nailed it
on
the head.
But there's no need for an I told you so.
Period. Just moving forward, we have to acknowledge that he was a liar then.
Mm-hmm.
And that now that you know he was a liar then, in the future, you can see other liars doing the same thing that he was doing.
Right. And we also need, in order to move forward, for Alex to admit that he knew that Trump was a liar.
Absolutely.
From at least 2016 onward.
They all did.
Yeah.
They all knew.
Yeah. So another thing that this poll guy, this Mark fella, another thing that he brings up is that there is a large divide between demographics and age cohorts.
Sure.
In terms of support for Israel.
Yeah.
The older people have a tendency to support Israel. And that is fair enough, I guess, from numbers. But the leap that they make from it is that, like, young people are just being rebellious.
That sounds right.
There's a crisis and people reorder society around a new value set. So I think Israel is a very deeply ingrained boomer value. They saw the nation be formed. They supported it all through the years. And
it's become a religious sacrament. And so the young people see that as a rebellion point. And do you think Netanyahu understands? Do you think Israel... I mean, the Gallup poll, but some popular country in the world, do they understand how screwed they are? Because everything they do, we'll get Tucker Carlson, we'll destroy him, we'll kill him like a fox in a henhouse. I mean, that is the perfect thing to just supercharge hatred against Israel. I'm watching Israel literally destroy itself, and Napoleon said, never interrupt your enemy when they're, you know, destroying themselves or making a mistake. Well, I'm not their enemy. I mean, it's insane.
Yeah.
So now what?
That's literally it. And they're not going to be able to correct this problem because it's generational. And again, this isn't because the young people hate Israel. It's just because the young people realize that this is a very strongly held boomer value that they can rebel against. They're literally just rebelling against the olds. And the Nick Fuentes stuff is the perfect example. He took a group of people. He didn't make all the Groypers. There have been strongly conservative, disaffected men on the right for a long time.
Nazis.
They say edgy things. And these were the core of people that got Trump in the White House. And nobody even realizes that. The people on 4chan, you know, became the people on Reddit that became the people pushing all the Trump memes. It's the same group of people. And Nick Fuentes, after, you know, Rumble and Twitter became more free, Nick Fuentes realized, well, I can, like, step in and be edgy and get attention. And so what did he do? He gave boomers a middle finger by acting anti-Semitic.
Or he's anti-Semitic. Right?
Yeah. Like, this is the fundamental thing. They don't understand the idea of somebody just doing a thing.
Well, they actually, I think, are motivated not to understand
exactly
that, because if they did, it would indict their behavior.
Right. They would realize that they themselves are the same thing that they're complaining about.
Yeah.
Right.
And at very, very least, enablers of that.
Yeah, if not outright supporters of hoping that it happens more.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I think that that's like a really sad thing to see. Like, oh yeah, all of this bigotry and shit is just youthful rebellion.
Yeah.
I'm sure there's an element of it that's that.
Sure.
Like, some percentage of people are lashing out in a rebellion against the olds,
I guess,
or whatever, but yeah, pretending that there isn't some philosophical or actual problem beliefs,
yeah,
that are involved here and are motivating people like Nick,
yeah,
is pathetic. It's not looking at, you know, what you're a part of.
I mean, it's just one of those fundamental, like, from their worldview, from their point of view, I can never look at another person as having equal status,
mm-hmm,
right? So this person is incapable of thinking as good as I am. So what I'm doing is I'm giving them a pre-made excuse for why they're so much dumber than me, and otherwise they would think clearly and agree with me, right?
Mm-hmm.
So because the youth are rebellious, they're not thinking as smart as I am. Right. And every possible circumstance, this is where we're going. It's not that they're capable of thinking clearly. If they were, they wouldn't be anti-Semitic. Right.
Right.
Exactly.
And this is the problem with an interview with a pollster like this, is that, like, he can have numbers that say that the older generations are more supportive of Israel.
Right.
But he doesn't have any numbers that support this interpretation.
No.
That he's coming up with.
No.
This is opinion being presented through the voice of a statistician.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I just think it's opinion. It should be treated like that, and it's dumb.
I mean, it's reading entrails.
Yeah.
It's the same concept as cutting open a lizard and being like, see, now we know where the future is gonna go.
Except for one, I mean, like, when you stick on the topic of numbers, then you're kind of fine.
Sure.
Numbers are useful, and you can misuse them and whatever.
Sure.
Trump's numbers are going down, and they Alex are. Can feel it in the streets, and that's something you can't avoid when you're talking to a poll guy.
Mm.
And so Alex is like, fuck it. I'm going to have to go.
Let's do it.
I'm going to have to go yell at the White House.
All right.
Trump's doing so much good on policies, on the economy, and so many things, but they have absolutely ignored Epstein that now has come roaring back, and their handling of that. And then now their handling of Israel, and, you know, the things Trump said and did, which I'm not going to belabor because I'll go back to our guests, but you're not my supporters if you want to know about Epstein. You know, stuff like that. And I get it. He's 79, and we need Trump. I mean, listen, I'm not somebody that just bashes Trump because then, oh, it'll be a big clip. Everything I say is because I absolutely believe it. I get criticized for not attacking Trump on every issue because I'm trying to balance this. Of, you know, it, compared to Kamala Harris, it's night and day. But now that he's starting to sink quickly, I mean, I'm going to have to really take it to him. And I was invited to Mar-a-Lago 6 months ago, the White House. I'm supposed to be at, what is tonight? I'm supposed to be at Mar-a-Lago tomorrow with some people. And I wasn't even going to go. I guess I got to go.
I wasn't even
going to go to the White House.
I guess I
got to go. And I'll probably just scream at him. And that's why a lot of times he doesn't really call me anymore. Because over the years, I'll say, listen, you got traitors. Here's their names. Damn it. I don't want to hear how great I am. Because, you know, you get the five-minute call. It's exactly 5 minutes, and he's going to pat you on the head and do this thing. And I'm just like, listen, I got kids.
I would stop calling, too, if I were.
Yeah.
That sounds like a bad phone call.
Yeah, that does not sound enjoyable whatsoever.
I am trying to just handle you and give you a little bit of, like, oh, good boy.
Yep.
Pat you on the head, and you're screaming at me about how you got kids.
Yep.
And how there's traitors in the midst.
You are a hungry dog. I leave you outside, and I give you food from time to time.
Mm-hmm.
Do not try and come in the house.
Yeah, yeah. Don't piss over here.
Nope.
So yeah, I don't know. Alex is going to go scream at Trump. This is going to work.
Yeah,
probably.
I think so. I think it's about time they've had it. You know?
Well, I think that the reason that Trump isn't behaving the way Alex wants is because Alex hasn't yelled at him.
Yeah, I mean, you know, this is really going to bring back the eightfold path. I think, you know, that idea of right speech leads to right action. Alex, just even in the way, like, the administration is ignoring it. They're not ignoring it,
right.
Buddy.
Yeah.
Buddy.
Come on.
If you speak right, you're going to do right.
They're not ignoring it, even by your own admission, where Trump said everyone who is a real follower of mine doesn't care about this.
Yep.
That's not ignoring.
You called it a minor cover-up, at best.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, Mark, the pollster fella,
sure.
He's bringing up Nick Fuentes a bit,
sure.
About how he's just being rebellious.
Of course.
The anti-Semitism is just youthful.
Ugh.
And people should watch Zoomers. like go to YouTube, go to the streamers. Like I watch a few of them. I think Asmund Gold is really good. They have no political loyalty whatsoever, and they're also not conservative. We talked a lot about that polling on your show. Even the ones that voted for Trump are very socialistic. They want to nationalize industries. They want excess wealth confiscation.
Yeah, they're Nazis.
Oh, so I'll tell you. Look at Fuentes. You know, loves Hitler, loves Stalin, loves strongmen, because that's what the youth, and this repeats the 20s. By the way, kids, when we go through these patterns, you get these strongmen, you get giant wars and total death and destruction. So that's why older people, I don't mean the boomers, that are, you know, not all of them are so secure.
What are we doing?
Watch their football games. But I mean real technicians like Mark Mitchell that's run major companies, people that have been around like myself, we've studied history. This doesn't go well. And so this fascination with black uniforms and, you know, marching armies, it's not fun.
Yeah, and I think you got to look at nuance, like what specifically his real platform is. I don't watch him, but he had a clip. And it's like a lot of that is just shock value to rebel against the Zoomers. But what these people are asking for is a return to justice. They're asking for like some type of equivalent, some blowback to the complete lack of justice and the two-tier justice. They're looking for economic opportunity, and they're looking, quite frankly, for identitarianism. And that's something that a lot of people haven't talked about. And it was kind of interesting.
Yeah, young people have lost their identity. And I'm not even trying to criticize Nick. I was going towards a danger point there and just using that as a larger example.
It's great for Alex to let the guy talk when he's saying that they just want to end to the two-tier justice system and economic opportunity. But as soon as he says identitarianism, Alex has got to cut that off, because it's kind of clear that that is a major part of what they want. I think this guy's just wrong.
Yep.
Unless his point was going to go on from the identitarianism to be like, they want a white country,
right? Like, absolutely.
Unless he was going to expound on that,
right?
Which I'm dubious of.
I mean, it's entirely possible that he's thinking more along the lines of like, the kids want people to respect gender concepts and identities and all of that stuff.
Based on the rest of his interview, right. I don't think so.
Okay. Because that does... There's only two options, right? There's I'm using identitarianism as a way of saying, these white people just really love whites!
Yeah.
Or fine, I'll say they. You know? There's very few middle grounds there.
Yeah. I think that they are still... no matter what they mean... There's just a desire to be like the kids. They don't mean it.
I don't even know how many generations there are now, because I think people used to have like the three generations of the old, you know, the witches. You had the maiden, the mother, and the crone, you know?
Right.
It feels like the maiden's like 50 generations at this point. You know, like the 8-year-olds have complaints about the 10-year-olds. They're like, we live in different
and
ecosystems.
They should.
Exactly.
They were, one of them was in middle school during COVID, and the other one was in elementary.
Right?
Like, they're, it's totally...
Completely different.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You can't finger paint on Zoom.
Who could possibly be like, oh, the youths, and have a block?
Yeah.
Who fucking knows what each individual lunatic they are is, you know?
Yeah. And what lunaticness and, you know, maybe even some great things may manifest within 5 to 10 years
of course.
From
totally
whatever they've experienced, you know?
Like, yeah. Let the kids do what they're always going to fucking do and quit bitching about them.
Yeah, and stop trying to cover your ass about how you're enabling Nazis by pretending that they're racist.
They're just rebellious.
Yeah,
it's just
real.
Rebellious. Yeah.
So a lot of this this interview ends up being like, shit's bad for Trump.
Yeah.
And so Alex ends by joking about killing himself.
Mm.
Mark Mitchell, amazing interview. We're raising the bat signal, you know, out to Trump, Elon, everybody. This is serious. Thank you so much.
Great to be here. Thanks.
Oh, now let's all go slit our wrists. I'm not going to commit suicide. They kill me today. I'd never commit suicide. That's a metaphorical thing. It's an analogy. I'm actually going to jump out of a building. I'm joking. All right, folks.
Is that joking?
Doing good.
Is that joking?
Balls and strikes.
Hmm.
That one's a strike.
Okay. So... I mean,
I think it's just a recognition of things are bad.
Sure. But I'm saying, if I'm Alex and I am there, you know,
mm-hmm.
it'd be fun to leave behind an eternal mystery of like, no, he didn't.
Sure.
Right? That's how you want. That's how I would want to go. I would want no one to ever know for sure.
Right. You would have to kill yourself in like the most implausible way.
Yep. Yep.
Because you'd want to be the thing that is a riddle forever.
Yeah, absolutely. You want everybody to make a documentary indicting a different three-letter organization for your murder.
Yeah. The problem is that no one would do that now.
No, no.
I don't think he could generate a mystery.
Yeah, man. Man, that's dark.
Yeah.
That's dark. It would make me want to throw myself out a window. Yeah.
Defenestration.
Yeah. Ugh.
So, because this conversation ended up involving Nick a little bit and about how his Nazism isn't real,
sure.
It's kind of insincere.
Yeah.
Alex comes back after this break, this commercial break, talking about Nick a little.
Okay.
I literally, in the last year and a half, had private conversations with Nick Fuentes. And I told him a lot of stuff I thought was going to happen. Most of it came true. So he got a little more, I think, respect for me. I think he's always respected me. And I think Nick's a really smart, funny guy. And, you know, with all the attacks on Christians and conservatives saying we're Satan, our DNA's bad, but you can't say anything bad about him when he says all his racist stuff. I mean, just you're the ones that created this atmosphere. I'm not engaged in it because I see where it goes long term.
Oh, so his stuff is racist.
So if I understand correctly, the people who didn't say the stuff that you believe they said are at fault for the things that you believe Nick Fuentes actually means about what he actually said.
Right.
Yeah.
And, you know, let's talk about right speech here a little bit, too. When you say that you're not involved in it,
no.
You're very involved.
Wow.
In it.
I'm a little involved.
Alex doesn't have, you know, friendly, frequent interviews with people who think white people are the devil.
Sure. I have him on every couple of weeks. All right.
Yeah.
So I'm a little involved. So maybe he's now a recurring guest on my show.
Sure.
Is another way of putting that. Yeah. So like a paid regular would be another way of describing something along those lines. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
Totally uninvolved.
Yeah. Uninvolved.
And Trump is silent.
Wow.
Ignoring things.
Wow. He's ignoring it.
So Alex gets, he does an interview with Viva Fry, which
okay.
I don't care. It's just
right.
about how Canada's a mess.
Oh, Canada's going to struggle.
And we get to the third hour and Alex is like, I still really haven't covered this Epstein stuff.
For obvious reasons.
Yeah.
Oh, boy. All right. I did not get to the Jeffrey Epstein stuff. I mean, I covered it.
Did you?
I didn't do the deep dive here. And I said this earlier in the hour. I said, or last hour, I said, should I even defend Trump on this?
No.
I'm asking myself that right now.
Don't.
Because he's not involved with these underage girls.
Yes, he is.
Days of evidence to even cover. And the new stuff they brought out that's the top story everywhere. Oh, God, he's caught red-handed. And you read it, and I already know the backstory. It's exculpatory. It makes Trump look good. Because this is what happened. And they would have already used this stuff on him if they had it. So it's an interesting story. It shows how the corporate media lies and spins. I think we already know they do that. Should I even do this?
No, the answer is no.
Do you know how bad it is? I officially can say, go fuck yourself, Michael Wolff, just because he sent an email to the guy. Mm. I don't need extra details. There's no other information I need. Fuck that guy.
I think this is some real existential business for Alex,
yeah.
Where he's struggling with, like, should I even fucking do this? He's trying to articulate it as Trump is so innocent, should I even defend him?
Right.
But that's obviously not
right.
What's going on.
No, he's so fucking guilty, even I am struggling to come up with any possible way to not say this man is obviously guilty.
Yeah, and to deny, like, that there's more information that is going to come out.
Yeah.
And it's just a guy who's like, fuck, he's trapped. There's no other way to put it. Like, he wants to jump out a window.
We're reaching, can God create a mountain so big he can't move it territory on how fucking guilty this guy is.
Yeah.
He's so fucking guilty.
Yeah.
There's no other way to describe it.
And Alex is like, there are other white supremacist people that Alex could rally behind.
Sure.
There's other leaders. He could jump to J.D. Vance or whatever. There's plenty of options available for him to choose a new God King kind of guy. The fact that he doesn't is weird to me.
I think it's an admission that none of them are funny. It's an admission that none of them have any charisma. It's an admission that for whatever reason, Trump's specific brand of douchebaggery resonates with a specific person and they cannot recreate it.
Well, I think that's part of it. Definitely. That's definitely part of the charm that people are personally into.
Yeah.
I think it's also a belief that Alex has that any other politician would not help him. Like, if he goes to jail, Trump will probably get him out of jail.
Trump will pardon him.
He pardoned Roger.
Yeah.
Vance wouldn't.
See, that's why you want a corrupt president.
Yeah.
Is because you're on the side of the good corruption, right?
I think that that's maybe what I feel.
Man, yeah, you're right. Because if somebody had helped get Obama elected in the same way that Stone did, Obama would distance himself.
Yes.
And be like, that was never blah, 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 blah. Trump is the only one who's like, fuck yeah, I'll pardon him.
Yeah, I gotta take care of my guys.
What are you gonna do about it?
Everyone from January 6th.
You got it done.
You're pardoned.
What are you gonna do about it? Yeah. Fucking nothing. That's what you're gonna do about it.
Yeah, so I think that Alex has every reason to think that if anyone would get his back just out of spite, it would be Trump.
That would be, that's a big Trump card.
Yeah,
pun
literally.
Strongly intended.
Yeah.
Yep.
So Trump's covering up Epstein stuff, which is the deep dive, I guess.
Sure.
But it's cool.
Oh.
Because Trump, with Ratcliffe, for Israel, and the CIA, not just Mossad.
In the conservatory.
Are covering it up for national
with
security because of how many big corporate leaders are involved. And it's not Trump. So I've said it. I'm not holding my nose on Trump. He's in there. He's way better than Kamala. But I'm going to cover this stuff. His administration is covering up the Intel connections and the head of Harvard and all these other hedge fund people, most of them Democrats, almost all of them, because Trump has been convinced it's too damaging to bring out. And then there's some back leverage on the bad guys like the King of England and his brother to make them play ball. Well, it don't look like they're playing ball. Doesn't look like your blackmail worked too good because it's being used on you. And that's why Trump's so pissed.
Wait, what?
Which I said that's one of the things he might do.
Wait,
brings it all out. Damn, the torpedoes go straight at him. Justice be done by the heavens fall. That's what I'd do.
What?
Or he tries to manage it because, he didn't want to bring down the whole country. Well, the cover-up is what's going to bring down the country. So I already war-gamed this. I hit it. Hole in one. And I guess I'll just go through it quickly. And maybe I'll do a longer report because it's I did so much preparation for this. It's hard to just kind of skim over it, which still my skimming over it will be the deepest dive anybody does on it, which is, again, super frustrating because I see all these idiots that don't know anything. And I'm not saying that from pleasure. I'm like, why do I know so much more than everybody?
Man, it's got to be tough. He's too smart to live.
Okay. Now, if I'm... Maybe I'm crazy.
Sure.
Maybe I'm crazy. Because to me, what I just heard this guy say, right, is that despite having screamed for years and years and years about being a populist, yada, 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 who's against the globalist deep state, yada, 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 who hates corruption, yada, yada, the whole thing,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, yeah, that's his whole thing.
Despite all of that, if I were in power, I would do everything the same way that they did. That's the smart thing to do.
No, Alex is saying for himself, he would release everything and just let the chips fall where they may.
Oh,
I don't believe him.
Okay.
But that's what he's saying.
Right.
He's saying that Trump is either like totally involved in the cover up.
Right.
Or he's taking the blackmail to use it against Prince or King Charles.
Right. How do you like that blackmail ball?
Right. And it's not working because people are using it against Trump.
Jesus.
So like, he's saying that those are the two options of what Trump is doing.
Right.
Whereas for him, he would damn the torpedoes
straight
ahead.
Okay.
It's bullshit.
Yeah.
But it makes his behavior a little bit less incongruous with his character.
Yeah. I got that backwards.
Yeah, but it's still him saying, like, he is this guy who hates corruption and all this shit. But if the guy that you elected and staked your entire career on decides to go with the deep state, maybe you gotta hold your nose.
What is the implication of saying that that is a smart move? You know what I mean?
Right, you'd have to think it's stupid.
You can't think that it is a smart move and also think that you would do something different without thinking that the thing you would do is stupid in comparison to the smart move, right?
Unless they're like real close.
Fair enough.
You know, both are stupid.
Yeah, you know, like, hey, if you're in a toss-up, fuck it, I'll do the one that I want to do. I get what you're saying there.
Yeah, it's tough because I think what he's trying to appeal to is that there would be huge consequences.
Right. What would happen is everything that you have desired to happen to the government since we started this whole Trump thing 10 years ago.
What happened?
He released that information.
Right.
You would get everything you want.
Which would be a big change.
Right. And you would hate that, to get everything that you wanted since the beginning. That was the whole reason that this journey started.
I mean, ironically, yes.
Yeah, exactly.
Alex would have no reason to exist.
Nope.
There would be no, like, secret conspiracy that's behind the scenes that only he's smart enough to have smelled out.
Yep.
Like, so, yeah, of course he doesn't want that.
His existence is predicated on their existence. That they don't exist means he has an eternal job security.
Yeah.
Yep.
So we have one last clip, and it's Alex just, like, he is in nothing but damage control.
Mm.
Well, it turns out we have the emails now, and this is the best they had. They say in a couple days, a week, they're going to release it all. But the first thing they release is Epstein talking to the guy writing an anti-Trump book, Wolf. And it's, Trump was really mad. I was getting girls out of his club, and, you know, his wife was mad. Everybody else was mad at me. And so he dropped a dime on me. That's what the emails say. I'll show them to you. But when you read Drudge Report or watch CNN, it's, Epstein emails claim Trump knew about the girls, spent hours with the victim. Well, yeah, they worked at Mar-a-Lago, and the victim said Trump never did anything to him. And the other victim said that. And out of the hundreds, only two were ever at Mar-a-Lago. But you read these headlines, you think he's totally guilty.
So the email never says that Trump dropped a dime on him. Alex is just adding that so it works better for the narrative.
Yeah.
Also, the email doesn't say that Trump spent time with one of the victims at Mar-a-Lago. It specifically says that he spent hours with her at Epstein's house. Alex is lying about this because if he didn't, it would be very hard to spin.
Yeah.
It makes sense. Oh, the reason that Epstein would say that he spent hours with one of the victims is because she worked at Mar-a-Lago.
Right.
Duh. That's right. The innocent explanation.
Right.
But it's defending against the wrong claim.
Right.
Said it's at Epstein's house.
Yeah. Yeah. It feels like this is him, like, modeling argument behavior for you.
Yeah.
You know, like, take this argument with you whenever your libtard friends are like, but her emails, then you can go, actually, but, you know, that whole thing.
You might be able to get someone who hasn't read them or whatever, unconfident and on their back foot.
Yep.
And that's going to be good enough for whatever altercation you get in.
Right.
It's not good enough for analysis, though.
No. And it's not good enough for that argument because, regardless of, like, whether or not you're ready to understand the analysis, the fundament that it exists at all is the problem that you can't erase.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, there's no way to get around this. These are emails about Trump and Epstein being in the same place with children. Mm-hmm. You know, like, that shouldn't exist.
Yeah, and I honestly think that there is no real reason to ever give a positive explanation for being associated with Epstein,
mm-hmm.
knowing that he was recruiting minors out of your resort, and not, like, having a history of scorched earth against the person. Like, if you don't try to kill them, then you're complicit.
Yeah.
Essentially, like, there's no version of this history that isn't like, well, it's a small response that you had.
Yeah, absolutely not.
You go to the press and talk about how Jeffrey Epstein likes them young?
I mean, like, Jesus.
Make jokes about it?
Right?
Write about mysteries and friendship riddles
God damn.
A birthday book? Like, you don't do this shit.
How is it possible that there aren't just no fuck... Oh, man. You know, it's like it feels like there could be automatic guide rails in place for shit like... Oh, this guy's associated with a pedophile billionaire.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that feels like something that if we're going to venerate the founding fathers, I think I could have thought of that day one.
Mm.
No pedophile super rich people. Guys, just, I know it seems like a bit much right now to put in the preamble, but I swear it's going to pay off.
Yeah, yeah, it would be good.
Yeah.
It would be good.
Mm.
I think it should be across the aisle. Type of issue.
I feel like I've connected with everybody, regardless of political beliefs, for most of my entire life about, hey, no pedophile billionaires. Somehow now, in the year 2025, there's ambiguity about this?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think we were lulled into a false sense of security because, like, Dennis Hastert got in trouble.
Yeah,
you know?
you got one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I think it made people feel like...
We've got it.
People will take this seriously.
Yeah, we got one, so we can do it again. Mm, yeah.
So I think with Alex, there's just like, this is sad. I don't have any like desire to rebut him or to like debunk whatever he's saying because it's meaningless.
Mm-hmm.
Like, this is a disconnected from his soul person.
Yep.
There is nothing about. The career that he built, the fake integrity that he wore as a costume,
yep.
That would be able to be like, he's involved in the Epstein cover up now,
yep.
But not before.
Yep.
Like, that's ludicrous. You've lost the game and given up already. And that's generally how I feel about him.
Yeah. I mean, I agree with you. I think the one problem that I have with this is that, to me, once you've reached what should be rock bottom, licking the boots of an Epstein cover-up, that feels rock bottom-y, right?
Yeah.
And if you have another choice that takes you lower and you take that choice, to me, that is like, well, fuck it. Let's dive.
Hanging out with a child Nazi.
Yeah. Let's no more stair steps down to the bottom. Baby, I'm going head first. We're going to try and find as deep as this pool goes, and I'm going to be a crazy person.
Yeah.
You know?
That would be fun, but I think Alex has such a sense of himself as the hero that he could never consciously go downward. Like, he would never be able to, like, villainize himself and be like, I'm going to the bottom.
Yeah, that's his dramatic irony. Every heroic step he thinks he takes up is two down.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I guess he's just got to shoot for the stars. Keep on dreaming, Alex.
Keep on dreaming. Bigger dreams.
Yeah.
You're going to get that painting show, buddy.
Yeah, come on, man. You can do it. So anyway, we'll check back in and see how he deals with the further emails that get released.
Jesus Christ, what a world.
But until then, we have a website.
Indeed we do. It's knowledgefight.com.
Yep, we'll be back. But until then, I'm Neo. I'm Leo. I'm DZX Clark. I am the Mysterious Professor.
Woo, yeah, woo, yeah, woo.
And now here comes the sex robots.
Andy in Kansas, you're on the air. Thanks for holding.
Hello, Alex. I'm a first-time caller. I'm a huge fan. I love your work.
I love you.